Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild dove, Luyu, in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Selling Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana Index. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry and join Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon every other Saturday from the Canadian wilds as he brings you Bad Company. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday morning. Join Victoria Frost tonight as she brings you Hearts of LMP or Black Lace Diaries. And Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Wednesday, join Neutron and Captain as the After Midnight Bombers. Friday's a split between Crawling into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, doing Aphasiana and Bablage to teach you fine art, part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest of prompts for all of our shows, calling to read your poems, and hang for the fun. And good evening, Pam. How you doing?
Hello, Rex. How's it going?
All right.
Awesome, awesome. Really like that intro song. I tell you, that lady's guitar playing and her singing, now that's the kind of sound that just really gets down deep and touches the soul. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think that song was off the new album. And that whole album is done as almost a tribute to the blues. They're all covers from back in the day. There's some on Little Richard, Aretha Franklin, and some other notables. Little Milton.
Oh, cool.
And Joan Bonamassa was the producer of that album.
Oh, wow, yeah. Now, he's a big name. I've seen him with other singers, and his guitar playing is just downright brilliant.
Yes, it is.
For sure, for
and
sure.
That's why he's been working with her for about 10 years now. They're good friends.
Yeah, and he's been in the business for a good many years, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah, he's been around quite a while. He was touted as a premier blues man back, 20-plus years ago, and he's still rocking it out.
Very cool. So has she been only doing music for 10 years or doing music for longer, but really just got...
Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics discovered her in 2002. She was 16. And she joined his group DUP for a tour back in the day then. She's also played with Annie Lennox. She's fronted for Foreigner, plus her own tours. And this new album, The Blues, which came out just a couple of months ago, is her sixth studio LP. So she is now she's, 19
nice.
Years later, and she's 35 years old. So she's been doing this for
right,
two decades.
Right, right. Well, she's still got plenty of fire in her, I tell you. That is really good stuff. I like it when it's always just, really interesting to hear how somebody gets into music, how they get discovered, and the little tidbits.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, and Albert Collins, her inspirations.
That makes sense. I can totally see that. Stevie Ray Vaughan is another awesome one. I just really dig his music. It's really cool that she came from Wednesbury, is it?
Wednesbury.
In England? Wednesbury.
Yep.
Yeah. I knew the D was silent. All the way from there to Detroit and playing the blues along the way, that is really cool. And, oh, my goodness. And you were right. I know the other day you mentioned that she had a voice similar to Janis Joplin, but more refined. And I definitely think you were spot on with that description.
Yep, she can hang a soulful tune.
Yep, for sure. Well, I tell you, we got a great lineup of poetry tonight. I'm glad to see that, you know, people were inspired. And, you know, as always, I'm looking forward to delving in, reading and commenting, conversing about poetry and music. And, of course, as always, hanging out with you. And I have a dog who decided she needs to come in my room, so I'm going to shoo her out. So, come on, Neil, there you go. All right.
Well,
and
I guess we should kick it off a little bit.
All right, sounds good to me. I'll check the studio one last time. And so far, just us two turkeys doing the turkey dance. All right. And up first, we have We Just Can't Say That Anymore by Time Teller. And go ahead, Rex, give that a read for us, please.
We Just Can't Say That Anymore by Time Teller. I've been dreaming you're coming back. I still don't know why you left. I've been asking your old man Jack, but he ain't telling. I don't remember much of what he said, or when exactly you placed suitcases under the bed. I know I get lonely, not just at night. Why you got up and left me? I'm blind, babe, give me sight. Every day I try to smile, think of something we did, if only once in a while. Some joke or some silly, stupid prank. When you left, my heart broke, and then it sank. I'm still waiting on your call, still waiting to see you there at the front gate, your sudden drawl. Here at the door, the crook of your shoes upon the floor. I'm still waiting to cook another meal, share a glass, pinch myself to tell it to feel. I'm still waiting for your heart, and I know you just can't say that anymore. Still waiting, why you left me, to fall apart.
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I like the title, We Just Can't Say That Anymore, and how he throws that line in there at the end after I'm still waiting for your heart, and I know we just can't say that anymore. What it feels like to me is a couple different things. It feels like, you know, I think the main thought I get from that is the idea that people expect you to move on and heal from a broken heart in a certain amount of time, and that you're not supposed to keep grieving the loss of a relationship. I think maybe also there's a touch of the idea of, you know, that she has the expectations of him moving on, or that maybe, you know, as a man, he's expected not to to be so emotional. Those are some different thoughts I get from that. I like that he opens up with, I've been dreaming you're coming back. I still don't know why you left. I've been asking your old man Jack, but he ain't telling. A great reference there to Jack Daniel's whiskey. I thought that was really clever. I like, every day I try to smile, think of something we did, if only once in a while, some joke or silly stupid prank. When you left, my heart broke, and then it sank. I like that he repeatedly says, I'm waiting, I'm trying. There's this real sense of just not being able to get past the heartbreak because you don't understand why it happened. And I think a lot of times when you don't understand why something happened, why somebody chose to move away from the relationship, it makes it more difficult to kind of move on and feel like your heart can be freed up and your mind can be freed up. So just a really great write that fits really well with the blues style music, and very well done.
And Yeah, I can see this playing out nicely. As soon as worded right, the thought you hit on the old man Jack was my touch. The placed suitcase under the bed, yeah, that does tell of a woman sitting at the door on the back end of things. Some joke or silly stupid prank, a nice touch in there. That next one down, here at the door, the prick of your shoes upon the floor, is a double note in there. It's kind of like the wanting also to come in, but also waiting for that other shoe to drop, because there was it's kind of a hint at the notion that maybe if there was something already underlying there, that's kind of noting in that one line, especially hit on the sort of share glass, pinch myself to tell if it's real. Yeah, the other shoe has dropped in. To finish that, still waiting while you left me to fall apart. Got that nice long drone of kind of finish out with that note and just kind of roll down to the blues angle and just fade out to the black.
I like how you mentioned about how it has that feeling of an idea of waiting for the other shoe to drop. Great comment there, Rex. All right. Up next, we have The Truth, Well, Life is Odd, Don't You Think, by In Chains. And it goes like this. Memories change state as black cloud ceilings burst forth one after another. Those ghosts dwindle in the night near hustle and bustle of abstracted storm. I hear that beard stroke and spearhead entrenched in that day-old fire hollowed, corpse tightly cradling heart-shaped fossil upon long, winding, gravel path. My tall, olive-drab body was in descent, slowly passing away into the darkness through hidden mist-dripped loops of wild wind to the point of no return where wingless angels sung mourners, lines of verse and rhythms of high-pitched thunder and hippish poetic words. Let's face it, I was a namby-pamby chanting to yesterday's shorting tail of wool, blue-haired, I was my bare feet chasing pavements. I had the gift of silver-tongued public speaking before a golden medal of torn-apart buttercups and poem.
Great read, Pam. Damn, Joe, that was slightly different and nicely done. I like the picture, and you drew well off that, especially that last stanza. I was a namby-pamby, chanting to yesterday's short tale of woe, blue-haired I was. My bare feet hardly chasing pavement. I had to get the silver-tongued public speaking before a golden medal was torn apart. Buttercups. That's a really great stanza from namby-pamby, kind of hitting on that notion of, easygoing, not willing to stand up and hit on something, but all of a sudden, short and tailor wore the blue hair, hits back to the picture, but also kind of hits on that notion of blue rolling through the body, not just the hair itself, but emphasized with the hair. And the bare feet chasing pavements, there's that note of chasing that dream that was, but now is gone. And I like the back end of this with the gift of silver tongue, public speaking. Now he's willing to offer up that note of the woe and the tale itself. And the golden medal of torn apart buttercups, that was what was once the pleasant realm, those Elysian fields. Now they're no longer but shredded in the midst of that dawn, so to speak. Nicely done, Joe. I like that. What you got? You read it?
Absolutely. I really like this. Well, first of all, it's good to see Joe. It's good to see her write in the contest, so I'm happy with that. I like how she used the word namby-pamby, as you were mentioning, the kind of idea of, not being able to stand up for yourself or feeling like that. And yeah, it's really cool. She wrote to prompt 6, Let It Burn, and I thought she did a wonderful job to fitting, using her own style, but fitting with the prompt. And I do like that picture that she added on, because the woman with the tattoo and the blue hair really just kind of fits up really well with the whole blues style feel to it. I like how she says, memories change state as black cloud ceilings burst forth one after another. Those ghosts dwindle in the air, hustle and bustle of abstracted form, you know, or storm. To me, it just feels like how, you know, you go back and forth between, when you're looking back in memories, you go back and forth between how you remember something to be and how, you know what I mean? Like, it just constantly changes depending on your mood or depending on, you know, how you're feeling about looking back at something. Like, sometimes you're looking at the good things that you remember about somebody, and sometimes you're looking at the things that really tear you apart. My tall, olive drab body was in descent, slowly passing away into the darkness through, you know, I like how olive could mean a skin tone, but it could also mean kind of like an olive tree, like an offering of peace, or like the idea of, you know, it reminds me kind of the Ezra Pound poem where the girl is the tree and the tree is the girl. It kind of has that feel to it. I also like where she says, sung mourners' line, wingless angel sung mourners' lines of verse and rhythms of high-pitched thunder and hippish poetic words. And the reason I like that part is because it very much makes me think about how oftentimes when we're sad, when we're feeling hurt or lonely or angry, there are specific music or musicians or specific poets that we really feel speak for us. I also like the irony in us, the gift of a silver tongue public speaking before a golden medal of torn apart buttercups. You know, it's almost like to me that whole idea of having that gift of speaking, but only when you're either by yourself or with other damaged people. I just found it a really intriguing write all the way through, and definitely very well done. And I liked the observations that you had for that, Rex.
Well, I think what are we going next?
All right. Well, before we move on, I'd like to welcome Martha to the show. Welcome, Martha. Glad you could join us.
Glad to be here.
Hello, Martha. Martha.
Hello.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Awesome. Did you get a chance to read or to listen to In Chains' poem?
No, I just got on. I didn't get a chance to read it.
Okay, no problem. No problem. All right. And we'll go ahead and move on to the next poem, and I put up Southern Gothic Melody by Papa Terminus. And Rex, will you give that a read for us, please?
Southern Gothic Melody by Papa Terminus. Liquid blue injection, veins hung the rhythm, explosive fusion that riffs with a soulful Motown motion that speaks melancholy to the timpani beating inside my reckless heart, Southern Gothic Melody. Awaiting the darkness as I stand on the threshold, dazed and confused, abused by the harshness of the world. Watching shadows glide like ghosts across the dance floor as guitars twang with a Southern Gothic Melody. As you let the candle burn like a moth, I'm attracted to your delicious light, burning teardrops still stain my face at midnight. Smoke blossoms like flowers that grow were all pantomimes. You're part of the show as your hand slowly caresses flame, a Southern Gothic Melody. And poem. And he took Reckless Heart at his prompt. And Martha, why don't we start with you?
I thought it was great. I've listened to that kind of music all my life, and I thought that was a perfect description of it. It really touched me. touch. You did a great job.
Excellent. Thank you, Martha. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I like that he went with the Southern Gothic melody line repeatedly, because the Southern Gothic melody, the Southern Gothic has a very distinct sound to it. It's blues, but it's also and rock and roll and country. It's a voice all its own. Let's see, liquid blue injection veins, hunger rhythm, explosive fusions, that riff. I like that because it feels like the desire to make music, like the desire to get high off of the blues, which is kind of sounds contradictory, but that's the phrase that came to my mind. Watching shadows glide like ghosts across the dance floors, guitars twang with a Southern Gothic melody as you let the candle burn like a moth. I'm attracted to your delicious light. Burning teardrops still stain my face at midnight. I particularly like those lines because to me they have both the emotive quality and the sensuality and the sadness that comes with the blues, because there really is something about blues music to where it's oftentimes sad in tone and the lyrics. There's something so overwhelmingly powerful about it that it becomes sensual, you know, at least in my thoughts. I also like the use of the word pantomimes, the idea that as you're watching the show, you mimic the emotions played out by the musician. Just a really wonderful tribute to the music and a great take on the prompt, and very well done.
Well, I got to go with that final Southern Gothic melody, then drop with that picture, which has a steampunk theme oriented. It's a nice touch. It's the angle drawn on the Gothic angle. But start with a Southern melody rolling through. It's something else, too. It finishes off that first stanza with explosive fusion, that riff with a soulful Motown motion. That kind of sets the pace for the thought to be rolling with. And then dropping in Southern Gothic melody, not as a complete useful thought throughout, but hitting it three times at exact points to make it stand for what it means. In the thought, awakening darkness as it stands on the threshold, dazed and confused, abused by the harshness of the world. It's on the blues angle of the way things are going, but also offers up a little note of touch that definitely would be dazed and confused, because that's a wild song in and of itself. Now, offering up the ghost, kind of hit on that Southern Gothic notion of the old haunts, the plantations, the Southern juke joints, where even the back of things, the ghosts on the wall, I like the thought the candles just burn like a moth. They'll get that touch of something a little darker, but richer, because it picks on also that sort of when candles and oil was the light of the day rather than electric light. So they'll get that middle get touch to Southern living before electricity came to bear. And to finish out with a Southern Gothic melody. And I do believe you hit that note with Southern Gothic melody as a misspelling on purpose, just for a note. I'm not quite sure what to make of it, but it hits it all three times from the it's used in the piece to the title itself. So it's got to stand for something a little deeper in the background of the voice itself.
I like that. I like that. I even kind of opened it a little deeper in the background. And that was just a really thoughtful and thorough comment in the idea really went over each stanza. You know what's a really good Southern Gothic group? I know there's another one I can't think of. The one I can think of is the Dead South. They're really good. And then there's another one, too, that it, unfortunately it's blinking out of my mind, but I know if I heard one of their songs, I'd recognize it.
Well, who was the other one?
The Dead South. They sing one of their best-known songs is In Hell, I'll Be Good Company. They also do a cover of People Are Strange from The Doors. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they're better than The Doors, but the style is different. Like, it's actually a really cool cover, and I highly recommend listening to it. And I actually highly recommend checking them out. They're definitely worth a listen.
I thought of Allman Brothers Tied to the Whipping Post and One Way Out.
That's
kind of hits on those notes of Southern style.
Yes. Well, I think like the Allman Brothers would definitely be where Southern Gothic, one of the points where Southern Gothic started. I mean, I'm sure it was before them even. I think even Johnny Cash would kind of be considered, like, maybe not Southern Gothic himself, but an offshoot or, you know, a starting point of Southern Gothic. I don't know for sure, but that's just, some thoughts that I have. But the Allman Brothers are another good one. Dang, they're good. All right. Well, up next we have I Want to Hide in a Teardrop by Diane Dee. And we have a recording for that. So I'm going to go ahead, find that, and push play.
I Want to Hide in a Teardrop by Diane Dee. I want to say bubble without getting angry. I would have laid my breath beneath your feet. I whispered and my mouth was full of cotton because I called every tiny teardrop by name. I wore your crust like a lighthouse for its ship. But every night your swindles penned a poem. I slipped into the crevices between heartbeats where my quit and fight are a sewing needle apart. In a world of perfect purples, I wore blue violet. Blue violet was not good enough for quartz. I looked for myself in places I had never visited and heard my names in ceilings of their chapels. You grew razor blade lips and broke everything that tendered my hope and spoke to your hush, trying to convince me the world is an antonym. Fools are all identical in how much they differ. When the devil spoke, he would steal the calm, and I would strip down to my skin-colored fear. But I realize now that I cannot hide in a teardrop, and the nothing that I found, I replaced you with. End poem.
Great read, Diane, and thank you very much for the sound card. It is greatly appreciated. And Diane took the tune, Three-Time Loser. All right, Pam, why don't you get this off?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. I tell you, she does a wonderful SoundCloud. You know, as I always mention, that balance with the background music is so important. And I like that she chose that song, that sound with the kind of almost gentle tone. I like that there's so many W sounds here, not an overabundance to where you're tripping over it, but that, you know, it's just enough to give it a soft sound. And I like that she says oftentimes, not oftentimes, but she starts with, I wanna say bubble without getting angry. And I don't quite know how bubble connects with getting angry, except I like that because of the fact that oftentimes when somebody leaves you or when somebody, something falls apart, there are certain words that you share together, certain private jokes. And that's what it reminds me. It reminds me of a personal joke between two people. And that it makes me really think about, when those personal jokes are no longer funny. I whispered and my mouth was full of cotton because I called every tiny teardrop by name. I wore your trust like a lighthouse red ship, but every night your swindle penned a poem. The personification of swindling, the idea that of giving so much to somebody and having them just tear, like, there's almost this kind of feeling of mocking. And I like where she says, in a world of perfect purple, I wore blue violet. It's that idea of just not being that perfect purple, not being that spot on color that everybody wants you to be. You grew razor blade lips and broke everything that tendered my hope and spoke to your hush. There is just so much giving and so much taking in this, the idea of this relationship that fell apart. And it really gets more and more dark as it goes along. When the devil spoke, he would steal the calm and I would strip down to my skin-colored fear. Some of the other rites have had the sadness to them, this one speaks of the raw honesty, of fear, of madness, of falling apart. I almost feel like there's kind of almost a sense of going through abuse and trying to heal from it. As always, Diane just has a powerful and emotive write, and this was very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, how about you?
Well, she covered everything I was going to say, but I was deeply moved by the poem. I thought it was really good, and the part about the razor blade lips out really struck me because a lot of times in life people hurt a lot worse from your words and from your actions.
Nicely said, Mark. Thank you. There's a lot of great imagery in this. That first stanza, I whispered in my cotton, my mouth was full of cotton, was a nice touch because I called every tiny teardrop by name. Then opening that stanza, second stanza, I wore your trust like a lighthouse for its ship. Kind of made me trusting enough to offer up the light that shines, that every night your swindles penned a poem, and I slipped in the crevices between heartbeats, when I quit and fight on a stone needle apart. There's a nice notion there of how wide the gap is in the heart itself, that there's not enough needle and thread to actually stitch it together. And that thought in the third stanza, and I heard my name and ceilings of their chapel place I never visited, all that hope lost in the moment. And I feel like the other thought with the razor blade lips and broke everything, this kind of that nice motion there of the foulness in the mouth and how fools are all identical and how much they differ. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are, everybody can play the fool. But that last stanza hits that note of the way you want to end out on a nice bluesy note with the, because you hear, when the devil spoke, he would steal the calm, and I was stripped down to my skin-colored fear. But I realize now that I can't hide in the teardrop, so I replaced you with the nothing that I found. I like that ending. It's got a nice note to understanding in the moment. That was fun.
Very cool there, Rex. I like the way you felt the blues in that last stanza. And I also like how you mentioned it doesn't matter who you are. We all at one point or another play the fool. So, very cool comment. Are you still there? Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure. You got awfully quiet. All right. And I have up Skyward Blues by Daniel Descino. And Martha, will you give that a read for us, please?
I don't see the link to it.
You might have to refresh your page. If you refresh your page, you should be able to see it.
Okay, just a second.
All right.
No, I still can't see it.
All right, and you're looking in late night calls? Okay, all right.
Yeah, I might have. All I see is Diane D.
Okay, well, it should be there in, I think I put it in the right place. Let me double check. Do you see it, Rex, in Late Night Poets?
I'm looking at it now.
Yep, it's right there in Late Night Poets. There's Diane D's link, and it says, me, great read and write Diane, and then there's Daniel Descino's link.
I can't find it. Not on mine.
All right.
I don't know
All
why.
Right, I'll go. Yeah. Huh, I don't know. I don't know, but it helps whenever you can to refresh your page. But, but I'll go ahead and read this one. And this is Skyward Blues by Daniel Descino, and it goes like this. I am history. I am flame of blood fire. I am star and planet united. I am creation of evolving desire. I am tragedy. Sadly, I am. I am triumph. Rejoice what I am. I am everyone that has ever been. I am the wolf. I am the lamb. Through the air, I swim. I choke. Through the rain, I walk. I drown. In the fog, I am lost and blind. I'm freeing fields and prison towns. But I am, and I is me. Unique among the unique hordes, and I will sing a voice ignite, and I will play of spirit chords. I am void, but there is life. I am earth, but there is sky. I will play in Jubal's band, and I will kiss the ground goodbye. In poem.
Great read, Pam. And Daniel went off to one of his favorite songs of hers, which was Kiss the Ground Goodbye. All right, Pam, what'd you think since you got to read it?
I like that he went with a different one of her songs. I mean, I definitely liked what you had to offer up in the contest and platter. I like that he knew her music well enough and had a song that spoke to him. The general idea that I get from this write is that it's a dedication, a tribute to music. I knew Jubal sounded familiar, or Jubal, however you pronounce it. I knew it sounded familiar. So I had to Google it, and he was a descendant of Cain, who, according to the account in Genesis, is the father of those who played harp and organ. So with that and with several of the other lines, I feel there's this kind of tribute to the history of music, the importance of music, and how it is so many different things to different people. And I like how he repeatedly says, I am, and it personifies the music, but it also gives voice to the musician themselves and the what the musicians are. And I like, through the air, I swim, I choke, through the rain, I walk, I drown, in the fog, I'm lost and blind, and freeing fields, imprisoned towns. I like that whole idea, freeing fields and prison towns. There's almost between that and where it says the unique chords, I feel like there's this kind of like idea that when you, of running with the crowd, of becoming imprisoned because you're just going with the flow rather than standing out and finding your own voice. I like that there's a certain spirituality which makes sense to me because me, and I, to me, no matter what kind of music, there's a certain spirituality, a certain, as I was saying earlier, you know, there's just some music that really speaks to the spirit, to the soul. This is just a powerful line, and just a beautiful write and very well done.
Nicely said, Pam. Thank you very much. And Martha, how about you? Did you find
it? That was a very powerful poem. I love music, you know that, my life. And I thought that was a beautiful tribute to music, well written and well spoken.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. The word jubal itself actually translated means scream. So that's where the angle of, I think, the early Christians used it as the notion of the birth of music, how it wanders across everything. It streams through the air. It streams through everything. I think that was a nice touch in that. As well as offering it, I am history. I am flame of blood fire. I am star and planet united. I am creation of evolving desire. Then again, I am tragedy. I am triumph. I am everyone. I am the wolf and the lamb. And it's on that note of everybody has some form of music that they deliver themselves onto. It doesn't matter who and what they are. But it also hits on that notion of a touch of spirituality, the wolf, the lamb. I am lost and blind and green fields and prison town, but I am, and I is me, unique among the unique chords, and I will sing, a voice ignite, and I will play a spirit chords. Like you said, Pam, it does hit on a note of a little bit of spirituality, but it also hits on the thought of being the original music, that big bang of thought, so to speak. I am void, but there is life. I am earth, but there is sky. So it hits on the notion of music being born out of everything. And the thought of playing Jubal's band, and I will kiss the ground goodbye, hits on that idea of evolving into the next channel of things.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there, Rex. Hey, Rex, Marius says, Rex, can you please make your sound just a little louder? And I have been noticing you seem quieter than usual. And I don't know if you're, like, slightly turned away more from your phone or what it is, but your voice isn't coming through as clear as it usually does, just to let you know.
All right.
Oh,
that
sounds so – that is so much better. All right. Now you're no longer hiding from us. Cool. All right. And, all right, Martha, I'm going to go ahead and put your write up and go ahead and give it a read or sing for us.
Just a second.
Make it easy on me. Darling, I can tell by that look on your face. Your mind is somewhere else in some other place. And you know it scares me half to death to think that you will leave me by myself. Babe, I have loved you for a long, long time. You've made your place in my heart and mind. If it's time for you to leave, you know, darling, please take it easy on me when you go. Darling, please don't break my heart. Please don't tear my world apart. I'm asking you to please take it slow and make I have always stood tall and strong. When you leave me, that will all go wrong. The house of cards are built without you. There'll never be enough to see me through. Darling, please don't break my heart. Please don't tear my world apart. I'm asking you to please take it slow and make it easy on me when you go. I don't know if I can stand the pain. I'm knowing my love for you is in vain. Who's gonna hold my head and stroke my hair? Darling, you are the only one.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what you doing?
All right. Well, first of all, I'm glad Martha has started. You've started calling in, Martha. It's really good to hear your voice and connect with you. I like all your songs. Just spot on rhyme and flow. Quality and very striking. And how you become, song becomes about expressing your heart. I really like, I have always stood tall and strong. When you leave me, that will all go wrong. The house of cards I'll build without you. Will never be enough to see me through. That there's this, the person is a source of strength. Like you acknowledge that you have your own strength, but at the same time, it's nice to have a partner to lean on, you know. And I like also, I'm going to jump back up to Babe. I have loved you for a very long time. You've made your place in my heart and mind, and it's time for you to leave me. Oh, darling, please take it easy on me when you go. That's another powerful and thoughtful part, because the idea that the person, they're in your mind, they're somebody that you think about, and all or the, you know, the character in the song knows, but there's this whole idea of, like, if it's going to fall anyways, just please be gentle on me, because once ship ends, I'm going to be going through a really difficult time. So really just a wonderful ride all the way through. And
said there, Pam. Thank you very much. And while I'm gathering by the title, you said that you took the song Let Me Down Easy, just to make it easy on me for your title. And that you offered up as part of your chorus line, which is what I like. Darling, please don't break my heart. Please don't tear my world apart. I'm asking you to please take it slow and make it easy on me when you go. There is, because you've, the first two stanzas hit on that thought. You understand, you know he's going. But you want him to at least take it easy on the break out the door, so to speak. And then you offer up that third intro, part. I've always stood tall and strong. When you leave me, that will all go wrong. A house of cards I'll build without you will never be enough to see me through. Then there's an understanding of being there for him, but now he's not going to be there for her when it counts the most, and that's going to be on the downward spiral that is coming making it easy on me once you go out that door. And then again, finish out with, I don't know if I can stand the pain of knowing my love for you is in vain. Who's going to hold my head and stroke my hair? Darling, you are the only one who ever cared. And that kind of, there's a contrasting note to not wanting to let go, even though you know it's coming, because you offer up that note of you're the only one who ever cared. It's kind of a large contrast between what's going on and that last line itself, which is which plays heavy on the heart itself. It's awful quiet here.
Hey, Rex, I like...
Did I lose everybody?
No, well, you haven't lost me. I'm still clinging. I'm still clinging like a prickly burr. but I really like how you mentioned, Rex, about that idea of, like, she was there for him, but then he wasn't there for her. And you're right about that chorus. It's definitely a strong chorus, which is important with a song because since it's the part that you repeat, you really want it to stand out in its emotional quality. Great observation. And awesome right there, Martha.
Thank you.
And
I enjoyed writing it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm always happy to see when people are inspired by any contest, but particularly the music that Rex picks out, because I know a lot of times when people are inspired by his prompts, it's because they are people who enjoy music just as much as he does, just as much as I do, and that really means a lot to me.
I love music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And up next, we have Fata Morgana by Marius Alexandru. And will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Fata Morgana by Marius Alexandru. I caught her with my bare hands after years and years of searching. Like a shadow in the glimmering sands, she was waiting for me. Lost and lurking. I let her go away again with all my hopes and all my dreams. She disappeared in a gentle rain, in drops of light, in sunny gleams. Later, I saw her in the ocean. She waved at me and called my name, filling my soul with pure emotion. But soon she changed in a small blue flame. It may be time for giving up, to start to live life to its fullest, to drink new wine from the old cup. Without no fear against love's bullets. I will renounce pain's camouflage. Freely I'll fly to new horizons. I'll stop chasing the false mirage. The night has passed. The sun is rising. And boom. Nicely done, Marius. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
Martha had to go.
Oh, well, then I guess it's you. Arr.
Arr. I really like this. I've heard the term Fata Morgana before, and I also recognize Morgana as, from the Chronicles of King Arthur. Can you remind me what Fata Morgana means?
Yes. It's Morgana the fairy, or in more absolute terms, the mirage.
Aha. Okay. And, well, that really fits well with this poem then, because Glimmer Sands, she was waiting for me, lost, and I like how this has that mythological feel to it, but it also has that metaphor, like it really works well as a metaphor for somebody that you can't hold on to, that you keep trying to get, that you keep trying to keep, and just isn't, working out. And I see he wrote to prompt 3, very cool. And later I saw her in the ocean. She waved at me and called my name, filling my soul with pure emotion, but soon she changed in a small blue flame. I like that he mentions, goes with the blue flame, the hottest flame, the flame that burns. Other than the white flame, the flame that burns the hottest. And I saw her in the ocean. Well, it references that kind of idea of a silky or another water creature. It also feels like, and this might be getting a little too sad and depressing and off topic, but it feels like as if a lover died by suicide, by walking into the ocean, or perhaps maybe instead of going that dark, maybe the idea that the ocean was somewhere that you enjoyed together, and now every time you go there, you see them. I also like to drink new wine from the old cup without no fear against love's bullets. The love's bullets was a great choice in the idea of how much it can hurt when it doesn't go right. I'll stop chasing the false mirage. The night has passed. The sun is rising. I like that there's this idea of, in those ending lines, of growth and healing. How in the first, like, four stanzas, it's all about wanting really so badly, wanting that mirage, wanting that person that isn't there anymore, that isn't coming back, and then realizing there's a better promise to hang on to. So really just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Well said, Pam. Thank you very much. I think Fata Morgana is perfect for this, the mirage. It hits on that noted ideal of holding something to such a thought that when it actually dissipates, all you're left with is that mirage of what you believed in the first place. And he hits on that quite a bit. Years and years of searching, the shadow, she disappeared in a gentle rain, waved at me, couldn't call my name. All notes to disappearing effects, the thought of being there slightly one moment, but thoroughly gone the next. It's that that one that got away motif, so to speak, that you hold so much to and want to hold everybody else up to. But in the meantime, you're doing that, keeps everything else at bay, and you don't actually do any living, which is where it got to the last few stanzas. Maybe it's time for giving up, to start to live life to its fullest, to drink new wine from the old cup without no fear against love's bullets. So the offering up with the love's bullets is letting go of that pain angle and to drink again from love's old cup, because it's been empty a long time, and it's time to refill that with something else. And the thought of renouncing pain's camouflage is also that double entendre thought of letting that old flame, which he hit on with the small blue flame, letting it go, because now it's small. It needs to be put out totally, and then freely offline to new horizons again. That offering of having new wings, so to speak, and then he hits on stop chasing the false mirage, because that dark night has passed and the sun is rising, because there is that note to the phoenix rising.
I like that. I like how you mentioned. I like how you mentioned the phoenix rising, and I tell you, a good title can make all the difference. Like when you can connect the title with the rest of the write, I think that's really important. The line that says to drink new wine from the old cup reminds me of this Bible verse that says, and I think it must be from like Leviticus or Deuteronomy or one of those Old Testament ones, I can't remember, but that says, don't drink new wine from old skins. And I know there's a meaning behind there, but I can't remember what it is, but I think it has something. Well, I think there was a practical reason for it, but it also had kind of a metaphorical reason too.
That line hits on something else. Drink new wine from the old cup. There's a thought of resurrection, drinking the blood of Christ.
I like that. I can definitely see that. Very cool. And yes. And I also think it's the whole idea of when you get that new life, when you get that new spirit, or that you become that new person, you can't mix the new with the old. So very cool. Excellent. And up next we have, I didn't put the next one up. Let me go ahead and do this. We have You Led Me to the Darkest Day by Lal, and she made a SoundCloud, which I'm looking forward to hearing. So here we go.
You Led Me to the Darkest Day, a poem by Lal. I followed you to Detroit, all the way from Wensbury. Told myself if I showed up, you'd take good care of me. Those days alone in England saw the bluest I would get. But being here without you finds the blackest I've seen yet. Why'd you want to treat me bad when I was the best you had? Break my heart, throw me away, leave me to the darkest day? Give me back that heart of mine, the one you said you'd treasure. I'm the fool to want you back when heartbreak gives you pleasure. Drink your bourbon, play the field, disappear into the night. Do what you've done all along, go ahead and steal the light. Why do you want to treat me bad when I was the best you had? Break my heart, throw me away, leave me to the darkest day. Followed on after Detroit, somewhat of an endeavour. Watched as you went on in life, not thinking of me ever. Out of sight and out of mind, cast in the darkest shadow. Days and nights forever dark and full of so much sorrow. Why do you want to treat me bad when I was the best you had? Break my heart, throw me away, lead me to the darkest day. End poem.
Great read, Lal. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It's greatly appreciated. And Lal took out the song, The Blackest Day. And she did make a note that Wensbury is a place that she knows of. So when she saw the contest and she hit on the note that I threw Wensbury up as part of the title, she dug into it and dug into this song too. Nicely done. Thank you, Lal. All right, Pam, what you got?
I'm really glad she made a SoundCloud. She has such a lovely reading voice. And I like that she knew the place Wensbury and that she was, drawn to the contest. I like how within this write, she pays a tribute to Joanne Shaw Taylor, by mentioning, Detroit and Wensbury and, she has a lot of nods to the idea of feeling the blues, like playing the field, drinking the bourbon. But I like how this is more than just a nod to the musician. It's that kind of write that anybody can relate to, that has followed somebody a long distance, that has left family and friends, that has left their way of life, that has left what they're familiar with because they trusted that somebody was always going to be there for them, that somebody was always going to take care of them. I really like this all the way through, but I particularly am drawn to give me back that heart of mine, the one you said you'd treasure. I'm the fool to want you back when heartbreak gives you pleasure. Drink your bourbon, play the field, disappear into the night. Do what you've done all along. Go ahead and steal the light. There's this real sense of talking to somebody who has a narcissistic personality. And the do what you've done all along, go ahead and steal the light is kind of like there's this almost acceptance of realizing that this person is never going to change. As always, she's got spot on rhyme and flow. Followed on after Detroit, somewhat of an endeavor. Watched as you went on in life, not thinking of me ever. Out of sight, out of mind, cast in the darkest shadows. Out of sight, out of mind makes me think about how with infants of a certain age, very young children, you can cover something up and they'll forget about it. And so with that reference there, it makes me think of somebody who has an extremely low emotional intelligence. Just a beautiful emotional write and very well done.
Dan, thank you very much. I do got to make one correction on myself. she did drop a note in the bottom as to how to pronounce it. It's Wensbury. So there is a nice little touch of Brit on the back end with Bury. So my apologies, Lyle. I should know better, considering. But she dug deep into this song and played it out on the other angle because offering up the Detroit as where Joanne is now living and has for the past 10 years, dropping in back and forth between there and England now and then. But she's using that as the motif to as the background. I followed you to Detroit all the way from Wensbury. Told myself if I showed up, you'd take good care of me. Those days alone in England saw the bluest I would get. But he, being here with you, like the blackest I've seen yet. Ooh, that's a nice dark opening and intro to the blues, but hits it well because she dug into the original song and played out her voice perfectly to this motif, but running through the back end as not the, as the guy running off to Detroit and she being the one rolling out the wagon trying to catch up with that fleeing maggot, so to speak, because she'd hit on that sort of, like you said, that one stanza you wrote, drink your bourbon, play the field, disappearing through the night, do what you've done all along, go ahead and steal the light. Then it goes to that finds that blackest day, you steal the light. It gets really, really dark, especially steal the inner light along with it. And she does hit on the notes of Why You Treat Me Bad. That is also in the original song. So she played off of this the original song well enough to create this, which is a really good piece. I enjoyed this. Thank you very much, Lyle.
I like that. I like that. I also like that you point out in the first stanza how she said, you know, that being alone in England was the bluest I thought I could get, but then it changed to, you know, like now life is even, it's at its blackest. It's at its darkest. Because I think that was a really important part to point out. Very cool. All right. And up next we have Like Any Good Woman by Julie Buck. And it goes like this. Like any good woman, I helped him in from the rain, sat his wet body by the fireplace, into his hands a warm cup of persimmons tea. Fresh brewed, I was willing to be his fool, but I always knew where his mind was. I can eat a salami sandwich too, he said, inhaling the steamy mist from his mug. Well, seems I'm not that good of a gal after all, because I took a knife, looked deep, my lover deep, into his eyes, and slowly with purpose peeled a fresh quince, never looking at the fruit, but I did enjoy seeing him wince. Hear me now, future backstabber of America, get your own food. I'm not your woman at this here port. Like any smart lady, I can smell rotten intent. I lit up a few vanilla-scented candles, put some chestnuts to roasting, began knitting some blue wool socks for Ugg, yes, him. Even got on the phone and invited his mother, who I hate, over for supper come next Sunday. Yep, just a few nips. From Jack B. Nimble, Jack B. Daniels, and back to being a good woman again. Why, even on my middle finger, one somewhat thoughtful thimble. End poem.
Great read, ma'am. Oh, I like that end line. It's got such a nasty little twang to it, but it's done pleasantly. One thoughtful little thimble. Yeah, fill this thimble with everything you got because you know what? I'm not going to say it, but yes, that was cleverly wrought with that one. I also like the Jack B. Nimble and Jack B. Daniels and back to being a good woman again. Rolls right nicely right into that end thought as well. Yeah, I'm ready now. My loose lips are ready to give you what you deserve, and that ain't a kiss, Bubba. There's almost there's a kind of give me shelter from the storm moment that rolls through this top hand here before she gets into where was it Well, seems not I'm not that good of a gal after all, because I took a knife, looked my lover deep into his eyes, and slowly with a purpose peeled a fresh quince, never looking at the fruit. But I did enjoy seeing his wince, and the future backstab of "I'm not your woman in this here port" was a nice touch. And what else was it? The whole opening was really well done, because it kind of seemed walking into a nice narrow sort of welcome home. No, there ain't no welcome home here. That knife was deftly handled. There's some chestnuts roasting. That kind of hits on the note. Yeah. And wool socks, ugh for him. Hey, don't knot them. Leave a couple of holes in them socks. And the thought of offering up a mother-in-law to come over, who I hate. And yes. And then the sips. That back end really hits the story nicely. And evilly, too. Nicely done,
oh,
Julie.
God.
I like the back end of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have to agree. There was several parts in that where that was chuckle-worthy. I like that. I'm looking at pictures of Quince. Yep, they definitely... great choice of a fruit for metaphor there. And, you know, when she brought out that knife in the poem, I wasn't quite sure how bloody things were going to start getting. But I liked that there was all this little hinting of how not happy she was. I like how she... You know, as always, she's got a wonderful way of separating her lines and stanzas. And I like how it's this whole idea, you know, though it's really never said, it's this whole idea of how much we'll forgive a person and how much we'll give of ourselves, but also that setting that limit, you know, like, you know, I'm not going to be a good woman to you right now because you haven't been a good man. I like how she says, like any smart lady, I could smell rotten intent. Put some chestnuts on for roasting. That was great. I like the Jack B. Nimble, Jack B. Daniels. That was really clever. There's just so many, it kind of has this back and forth feel, which is what I think oftentimes, you know, like our emotions can do to us. You know, sometimes it's like I would do anything for them, and other times it would, nope, do it yourself because I'm through. And that was really fun at the end. Why even, and back to being a good woman again, why even on my middle finger one somewhat thoughtful symbol. I like how it's like, yep, I'm darning your socks for you, but it's on my middle finger because, you know, I just really want you to know how I feel right now. Just a clever write all the way through and very well done. Uh-oh, you didn't drop, did you?
Yep. It's like him coming home. Yeah, Mama, no longer sing the blues because I am home. Uh-huh. I've seen the devil walk in that door. He's wearing your feet.
Good lines there, Rex. Good lines there. Man, it would have been great if you had written something for this show. You just got a perfect voice for that blues singing.
I mean, like George
All right.
E.
Something like that, yeah. And up next, we have Unfazed Glitters of a Soul Sublime by Laughing Soul. And go ahead and give that a read for us, Rex.
All right. Unfazed Glitters of a Soul Sublime by Laughing Soul. Love notes she pens of fairies so kind, quite unusual than the ones you rhyme, a nightingale lost in the cacophony of betrayals and lies, bleeding soulful chimes. But hey, and Angel Taylor always shines. Dark, gusty winds, cold nights, sending shivers down my spine. But hey, the Royal Highness always shines. Blinking glasses, flowing wines, curious glances, piercing eyes. My makeup put no chances, scars I did buy. But hey, a soul's reflection always shines. My days dark as coal, my heart a frosted forlorn. But hey, everything sure fades with time, and the sparkling poetry always shines. And Paul. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, first of all, great read there. I liked how a lot of this poem was about sound, like she mentions, like the word cacophony, and how, you know, to me, it really makes me think about how when you're in love with somebody, their voice is the most, their laugh, their voice is the most beautiful thing, and then it just kind of starts to grate on you after the relationship falls apart. But it also, and this is just my interpretation, it also makes me think of how when you can't focus and sounds just start blending together. I really liked that there was this kind of, well, I like how she used her own voice, like her own thoughts to express the kind of emotion and the kind of sadness that comes through when singing the blues. I thought it was an excellent write and very well done. And, just beautifully written, and I'm looking forward to what you have to say, Rex.
Well, it's the bite in the first two lines. Love note she pens a fairy so kind, quite unusual than the ones you rhyme. So you already get a thought to the pair up front, the notation to fairies so kind, and hits on the note of easygoing flavor in poetry, nothing dark, so to speak. But then drops the next line, quite unusual, the ones you rhyme, which does hint of maybe the darker things that go along in life. And it kind of hits in that note that always ends on a shining thought. A lone poet, a nightingale lost in the cacophony of betrayals and lies, reading soulful chimes. But hey, an angel's halo always shines. Finishes out the each stanza with the same type of motif, but always a different thought. But hey, the Royal Highness always shines. But hey, a soul's reflection always shines. And then that last stanza hits on a use she uses coal, the dark eye shadow that Egyptians used way back in the day. That's used come making a comeback again as far as shading for the eyes. My days dark as coal. Nice touch there. Something really deep, dark, mysterious, black. My heart a frosted forlorn. Again, the thought of that cold reflection. But hey, everything sure fades with time. Again, there's that nice touch to the ending line. She said, and the sparkling poetry always shines. Again, the note flavored back where the even though the days are dark and the heart is cold, things do fade with time, and the sparkling always comes back to shine. So it's a note of, hey, might be dark sometimes, it comes with life, but better days are always ahead.
I like that, Rex. I like how you mentioned that with each stanza, it comes back to the light, to the idea that things will get brighter, that things will get better. And it really reflects on the inner strength of the person. So,
oh, and it goes right back to the first two lines. You've got the notation of the dark and then the light, both all the way down to that last stanza. We've got the top is really dark, etched nicely cold. And then you get the last two lines. Hey, time passes, healing is done, and things brighten once more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. All right. Well, up next, I'm actually going to read my poem. This is the silver wire in the sky, and it goes like this. I walk the silver wire that rides the moonlit sky. You have a cosmic spirit that soars within the sky. If this world is going to burn, then baby, I'm the match, and it's time you realize this woman is a catch. If you want to hold a fire in the middle of the blues, you have to be the type of man that doesn't play with clues. Because I'll give it to you straight and I'll give it to you fine. Honey, when I slip on down, you're going to know that you're mine. Let's both take a gamble. Let's both play our cards. We can kiss each other's bruises when the falling gets too hard. Life's a winding road that often leads to hell, but we're living in this moment where we saunter in love's spell. So pass over that whiskey, touch the arrow in my heart. We can dance together, making movement into art. End poem.
Great read, Pam. The silver wire inside. Silver wire. Kind of sad note for that silver wire. Like walking the tightrope. But then again, you hit it with the rise of the moonlit sky, so it's walking moonbeams. And you listened to all the songs, didn't you? Because you hit on what's
I
it,
did, yeah.
Diamond in the
I
Dirt.
I only put
also
one down as my prom,
You also rolled in Baby, it's Gonna Burn. That was another one of the songs in there. So you're playing off a couple of angles. And The Gamble hits on another song, too. Let's both play our cards. And Life's a Winding Road, that kind of hits me up with McCartney back way back in the day, The Long and Winding Road. And I like the bottom end. To pass over that whiskey, touch the arrow in my heart. We can dance together, make a movement into art. Nice touch there to finish off that sort of walking silver-lit moonbeam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, well, you know, that happens to me in every single one of your shows, Rex, unless you have a one-song prompt, is I end up listening to every song, like, over and over again and reading the lyrics over and over again. And then I decide this is going to be the song I write to. But I think what happens is when I decide which song I'm specifically going to write to, I've crammed so much stuff into my subconscious, it oftentimes just ends up coming out in the right.
Well, speaking of one song, so check out next week because it's Thanksgiving and you get one song, and that would be Alice's Restaurant Massacre by Olive Guthrie. All of it, 18 minutes of glory. So that'd be a nice one. Thing for Thanksgiving instead of trying to dig into who's got what, where, when, and why. Let's do the original. Oh, I even included in the bottom of that contest the movie from 1969, Alice's Restaurant, starring Olive Guthrie.
Oh, nice. That song in that movie remind me of the movie Fried Green Tomatoes, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Funny.
I'm actually looking.
Somebody dropped in a piece already called Fried Green Tomatoes.
I saw that. I thought that was really cool, you know, because as soon as because anybody who's seen Fried Green Tomatoes knows that it has a very, very similar theme to Alice's Restaurant. So, you know, and like I said, it's one of my favorite movies. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, that is so awesome.
I've never seen Fried Green Tomatoes. Nope. Can't make that connection.
I said, oh, have you ever seen the movie Fried Green Tomatoes?
Nope, can't make that connection.
Okay, well, the basic storyline of Fried Green Tomatoes, well, there's a whole bunch of different connecting storylines, but one of the storylines is this woman marries this extremely abusive asshole, and he ends up dead, and at the end of the movie, they're serving barbecue. Because her best friend and her run a restaurant. And the last
pork,
scene.
Long pork, the easy way. Oh, long pork. Aha.
Yep.
Give me some of that long pork sandwich over there, will you? You want to pull some barbecue? Hell yes.
It's actually a movie I highly recommend. The intriguing thing about it is it goes back and forth between the modern day, and by modern day I mean the 1990s, because it came out in the 90s, and then the 1930s, and down south, and it's just like I said, there's a lot of interweaving lines, very cool. All right, I'm going to go ahead and grab that next right. You know what, Rex? And if while I'm commenting on this poem, you want to grab a right of yours, feel free to do that, but don't do that yet, because I'm putting up Recklessly Regret by Adamahu-san. And give that a read for us, please.
All right. Recklessly Regret by Adamaku-san. Baby, now I've been so blue, was oh so reckless to you. You came swooping around like a hurricane, and I couldn't sustain like that beautiful vibrato. Eventually the tone lost its color, and I stand alone, oh so blue, missing you. Your bends bent me up an octave of soul. I was a boy running in circles. Couldn't hear the thump of your titanic rhythm. I spilled it out and went on down. My reckless heart couldn't understand the love of a woman smoldering, burning, oh so hot, babe. Blitzville Serenade, I hear that song you made, and I capture the memory in those smoky eyes. I love every inch of your gypsy spirit and body, and you ain't ever gonna want to hear it. I know, this blue boy made the reckless waste of a true woman's time. And now that's what I'm doing, time. Away, because I was just a boy, still missing the bend of the break, babe. So heat it up and slow noodle all those licks. But your memory is still traced upon every girl I kiss. And it burns so steady with this blue boy with a reckless heart that wasted your smoky gypsy soul. Trust, I pay, and will forever owe. End poem. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. I like how this touches on the poem Reckless Heart, but also, you know, has its own kind of flavor to it. I like the phrase, and I couldn't sustain like that beautiful vibrato, you know, that whole idea of that kind of like that attitude that comes out. The love of a woman smoldering, burning oh so hot, babe. Splitsville Serenade, I hear that song you made. I like the alliteration in that. Splitsville Serenade, I hear that song you made, and I capture the memory in those smoky eyes. I thought that was great alliteration. Plus, it's the whole idea of singing that song of the blues, singing that song of the separation. I also like that he mentions a couple times the gypsy spirit and body, the gypsy or smoky gypsy soul. To me, it really touches on that idea of someone who is called to travel, somebody who isn't a homebody, you know, somebody that maybe, I kind of get the impression with this rite that what there is that idea of someone that wasn't a bad person, but they couldn't stick around because they had that wanderlust. Let's see, so heat it up and slow noodle all those licks. That's kind of in its own quirky way, a little bit sexy there. you know, although I don't know how sexy you can get with a limp noodle, but, you know, to each their own. I like how there's this capturing of memory, this looking back. This blue boy made the reckless waste of a true woman's time. And within that line, I kind of get the impression that perhaps, you know, he was the one playing the game, that he was the one that knew that things weren't going to work out and just, as he said, you know, wasted her time. I definitely find this just a really intriguing and emotive write and very well done. And I really like how people have been inspired tonight. You know, it's really cool, and I really appreciate that. And all right, was that a long enough comment for you, Rex?
Well, the inference is older, younger, because he keeps referring to the boy, a boy running in circles. What else we got here? I was just the boy, still missing the bend of the break, babe. So she did the break. The gypsy angle, gypsy spirit kind of hits on that note of someone who, because he hits on it, where was it, swooping around like a hurricane and then gone out the door again, so to speak. But he hits it, Splitsville Serenade. I hear that song you made, and I capture the memory in those smoky eyes. I loved every inch of your gypsy spirit and body, and you ain't ever going to want to hear it. Again, that note to the gypsy spirit of coming in like a hurricane and then again moving on as the urge hits. And then he hits on the thought, maybe he didn't, was part of that would be him because he acted the boy instead of the man, so to speak. And by the back end of this, he's thanking her because nothing matches up, so to speak, for this blue boy with a reckless heart that wasted your smoky gypsy soul. Trust I paid and will forever owe. There's that note of something in the learning and the memory that still lingers on his lips with every girl he still he now kisses. So it walks itself right back around.
I like that. I like that. Very cool. So you're thinking it's kind of like a Mrs. Robinson type thing going on? Or that was happening? Or maybe they're just at different maturity levels?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Great comment there. All right. Up next, we have Baby, Don't You Make Me Cry, Chicago Blues by Bluesman. And it goes like this. Why, oh baby, why, oh why, oh baby, baby, don't you make me cry. I get up in the morning like most married men to put the bread and butter on the table again. Come home from work early, my heart you rend. When I find you in bed with my best friend. Why, oh baby, why, oh baby, baby, don't you make me cry. Built you a dream house with beautiful things, a luxury car and a diamond ring. I ask for breakfast in the morning, supper at night. I come home from work, you're nowhere in sight. Why, oh baby, why? Oh, why, oh baby, baby, don't you make me cry. I'm a simple kind of man and I don't ask for much. All I wanted in the morning was a gentle touch. But you sleep with the sun and rise with the moon. You'll dance for the boys when they play tune. Why, oh baby, why, oh baby, baby. Don't you make me cry. Yes, you're my moonlight mama. You live for the street. When the sun goes down, you're a bitch in heat. put on this earth to walk the put on this earth to walk the land, all the life from the boys in the band. Why, oh, why, oh, baby, don't you make me cry. The kids in crappy diapers and the house is a mess. Every day with you just puts me to the test. One day they'll find you lying face down in the street, a stomach full of downers and a bottle at your feet. Why, oh, why, oh, baby, don't you make me cry. Why, oh, why, oh, baby, don't you make me cry. End poem.
Nicely read, Pam. Thank you very much. I like the layout. Yes, he did this just right, getting that that long draw out with the chorus stanzas and the breaks in the intervening stanzas to drive home the point, because you can get a lot of a bluesy thought out of it, like why oh why oh baby, why oh why oh why oh baby, baby don't you make me cry. I get up in the morning, like most married men, to put the bread and butter on the table again. So he rolls that out nicely, and he hits on some great thoughts in here, because they walk a little harder each stanza down. I'm a simple kind of man, and I don't ask for much. All I wanted in
Leonard
the morning
Skinnerd.
Was a gentle touch. But you sleep with the sun and rise with the moon. You'll dance with the boys when they play that tune. But he drops in a nice little hard one in the next one. Yeah, you're my moonlight mama. You live for the street. When the sun goes down, you're a bitch in heat. Put on the earth to walk this land, sucking all the life from the boys in the band. Yeah, there's some bluesy stuff. And the last one with the kids in the crappy diapers and the house, and then the ending tone of a stomach full of downers and a bottle at your feet. Baby, don't you make me cry. All right.
It's
your
always
turn. You have to be it.
All right. Well, I could just sit here and keep listening to you sing. That's always amazing. And, you know, I agree with you to so many things. First of all, the spacing that he used to draw it out. This is just spot-on blues. I can see why he called himself Blues Man. You know, and you're right, it does get progressively darker. You know, first there's just this, you know, idea of, you know, and you know, it's emotionally dark in that first part with the idea that, you know, of being betrayed, of working, coming home, you know, after a hard day's work and finding your woman in bed with a man, with your best friend, not just any man. And I like the repetitiveness of the why, oh, baby, and you know, has that break in between. You know, then the fourth stanza where it says, but you built you a dream house with beautiful things, electric car and diamond rings, and where it says, I come home from work, you're nowhere in sight. To me, that's, you know, you see that as part of contributing to a relationship falling apart, but not necessarily really dark. Like, there's almost this idea of just two people having different schedules. But slowly you start to see that this is a woman that not only is cheating on her husband, but she's not there to take care of her family. Like, she would rather be doing the drugs, walking the street, being in bed with other men than changing the baby's diapers, taking care of her family, taking care of her man. I also like, as I said, Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm a simple kind of man. It makes me think of that Lynyrd Skynyrd song. So that line particularly stood out for me. I think this is a great write all the way through, and I like how in that end line, line that ends stanza, he puts in those extra, baby, don't you make me, baby, don't you make me, baby, don't you make me cry. I really felt like that added to the musicality of the rite and the blues feel. So just excellent rite and very well done.
No,
all right.
Written about some idiot who married a groupie.
Well, that would make sense because, you know, I'm guessing that very few groupies change, you know, before or after marriage. I think that's a really clever rite. And I like that he went with calling it the Chicago Blues because I think doesn't or used to anyways have its own music scene and some really just really great musicians came out of that area. But I can't.
Yeah, that's where Steve Miller went back in the early 60s to learn a good part of his craft, and he got to play with some of the greats back then.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, very cool, very cool. Like I said, just an impressive lineup of poetry tonight. I'm really glad people were inspired by these blues sound, and I have to say to you, just a really great choice in a prompt and a musician to get out there and feature. All right, did you find a rite of yours?
No, I was busy reading. One night.
You had plenty of time. I read that last one.
God.
Plus, here. I put one of mine up.
I can't make that something.
Oh.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, this one kind of fits.
Okay. All right, you go ahead and get yours in there and give it a read, and then I'll read mine if needed. Do, 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 do. Ah, there we go. I love that one.
Dogbone Blues. Crazy woman, you left me on an empty country road. Now I'm cold and pest-free, God is your heavy load. I'm standing in the rain, standing in the rain, standing in the rain since you left me. That rain's defining, my life's on overload. Your love was confining, now I'm out on the road. I'm passing on the pain, passing on the pain, I'm passing on the pain since you left me. I've been walking a lonely mile, no Daisy Duke to comfort me. Wicked was your smile when you led into me. I'm walking long and tall, walking long and tall. I'm walking long and tall since you left me. Gotta put some distance between me and Mama's abode. Love and her assistance, an operandi out of mode. I'm singing in the rain. Singing in the rain, I'm singing in the rain, cause you left me. See you later, baby, I'm footloose and fancy free. I'm walking out that door and into history. I'm walking long and tall, walking long and tall. I'm walking long and tall, cause you left me. Who's your daddy, mama? Bye, 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 bye. How for me, honey, I'm running wild tonight, and moonbeams glow in eyes of fire. Bye, 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 bye.
Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome. You know, that one is one of those that's worth hearing again. I don't know why I didn't have that one on a list before, but I had to make sure to put it on. You know what you should do? You should make a SoundCloud of this one. I mean, the live singing you just did on it was absolutely splendid. But with the right kind of background music, this would make for an awesome SoundCloud. You know, I like the well, of course, I like the way your stanzas flow physically, but there's this, like, idea of, you know, that kind of bye, like, I'm passing on the pain, I'm passing on the pain since you left me. That idea of, you know what, I'm not going to hold on to it. You know, I'm moving on. I like that. I also like the reference to the Daisy Dukes. I've been walking a lonely mile, no Daisy Dukes comfort me. Wicked was your smile when you laid into me. Yeah, let's see. I mean, this is great all the way through. I'm footloose and fancy free. I'm walking out that door and into history. I'm walking long and tall, walking long and tall, walking long and tall because you left me. There's attitude. You know what? You go ahead and think that I'm going to obsess over you for the rest of my life, because I'm not. And I really like how you add in that laugh and that bye. And at the end, howl for me, honey. I'm running wild tonight and moonbeams glow in eyes of fire. You know, a true wolf knows that they can't be held back, that they're meant to run and howl. So, yeah, I just think this is an excellent write, Rex, and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. Now, what we got for coming up?
What do we got coming up? Okay. I was going to read my last poem, but I'll go ahead and focus on what we have coming up. All right. So, going over to contests, first of all, for your After Midnight show, we have quotes from who do we have quotes from?
Rod Sterling.
Rod Sterling, and you're running that contest, and we need rights for that. And then I'm running a contest for Twisted Tuesdays with artwork and quotes from Norval Morisseau. Who was an Ojibwe artist that was known as of the North.
I saw some of his pictures. He does kind of remind me of some of Picasso's thoughts and paintings.
Yeah. And I thought it'd be good with both something a little different, because that's what Twisted Tuesdays is all about, is going different. Oh, and for Wednesday, the Art of Seduction, Fill My Eyes just got a contest up for Thanksgiving fun. A lot of fun, sexy pictures, you know, with a little bit of sassiness, a little bit of humor, you know, just mix it all together and, you know, have a bit of fun.
Some pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, that love. And you get to go diving into that pumpkin pie. And Richard Wiseman is throwing a contest because he's going to be doing the Thanksgiving show. It's poems for Thanksgiving Day for LNPs, Our Craft, Our Soul, and Art. Let's see what else. Oh, and Into the Darkness, there's not a contest, but that will be a Friday's After Midnight show. That will be on Paranoia. And as you mentioned earlier, for next week, Alice's Restaurant Massacre is the song we're focusing on.
It's Massacre. It's a little play on Massacre in Massachusetts. Massacre, small town.
Oh, now that's
humor.
Clever. And that Guthrie, what was his name again? Guthrie?
Arlo Guthrie.
Woody Guthrie. Yeah, that's it. He's a really good storyteller, writer.
What I'd like to know is how the hell does he remember 18 minutes of a song to sit on stage and actually recite the damn thing in all its entirety.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Because he's got a host of characters in there. I mean, it's not just Alice. He's got, He's got Ray, he's got Officer Obi, and the 10 by 9 glossies, all with arrows and markers and a paragraph on the back of each picture. Oh my God.
Absolutely, absolutely. I know, that's really impressive. Oh, and a couple other contests I have running, but are for next week's shows, are After Midnight Epitaphs, with epitaphs that range from serious to funny from a variety of famous people, and then Break On Through, Leonard Cohen's Puppets. But just a reminder to everyone that the upcoming shows and contests that need rights the most are After Midnight, Rod Sterling, Art of Seduction, Thanksgiving Fun, Twisted Tuesdays, Norval Morriso, and Poems for Thanksgiving. So make sure to check out all the
And that thoughtful for Wednesday's show. Thanksgiving Day is going to be awful busy, so you won't be able to do that stuff on Thanksgiving, so you might as well do it the night before. Bring it on to Wednesday.
Oh, absolutely. Honest to goodness, I highly recommend that everybody get all their writing done within the next 2 days. Because, yes, when it comes to Thanksgiving, and of course, yeah, you're right, when it comes to Thanksgiving Day, everybody's going to be too busy and too drugged up on tryptophan to do much writing. So,
drugged up, drugged down. Tryptophan is like
but I know what tryptophan is.
Yes, but it's more like a downer. It'll put your ass to sleep.
I thought you said,
it's a second all. It's like taking two Liliac 40 red bullets. And yes, it'll put you down, mellow.
Well, honestly, to be honest with you, Rex, I thought drugged up was a term that you use no matter what the drugs did to you. So,
no.
But yeah.
Up is down.
So you only say drugged up if you're on uppers, and you say drugged down if you're on downers.
Yeah, because you're bouncing off the bloody walls.
Okay. Oh, I totally get that. Oh, my gosh. Well, there's just some really awesome shows to write for this week, and I am definitely going to see if I can get my sexy turkey groove on. And, well, this is a great show, Rex.
Yes, it was. Thank you very much. And thank you to Marius, who spent time on the board, and Martha for joining us for a little while on the show.
Absolutely.
And we'll see you all very, very – wait a minute. What about tonight for the after midnight?
Well, it's supposed to be the Hearts of L&P, but I haven't seen anything up yet, and I – Victoria's been pretty busy, so possible we're not having the show tonight, but keep an eye out in Late Night Poets, keep an eye out on the topic board, because if we are having the show, it'll be up fairly shortly.
Okie dokie. All right, then. Until next week, for Alice's Restaurant, make sure you dig into it a bit and watch the movie. It's a hoot. And come and play.